Well, I'll tell you, congratulations on a great episode. What's in the box? Yeah, and I thought, do you have questions for today?
I do. Nice. But do you have, well, I mean, we could talk about Lent. We could, but I'm like, is everybody talking about Lent?
Everybody's
I don't know.
Everybody's talking about Lent.
I feel like everybody's talking about Lent.
So you're saying everybody is talking about Lent.
So you're saying be different?
And I love Lent. We all love Lent.
I love Lent too.
But I thought, like, maybe we have some listener questions. Both. I have some questions.
You have some?
As well.
Okay.
So a couple weeks ago, I gave a panel discussion at the Temple Beth Shalom.
Yeah, you
and
did.
And Delilah good. And Esmeralda were kind enough to come up. And I thought maybe some of the questions that they asked the panel might be interesting to hear your responses.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, true. That's
and
a good one.
I'm happy to chip in with a couple of my ideas, but I'd love to hear you guys
answer.
I had a question. I didn't get it asked, though. Because it was just a lot going on.
Okay.
And I kind of got shy. I was like, ooh.
Mm. Oh, can you give the rundown really quick of like the visual? Who was it? Like, who was there?
Sure. Well, should we? I didn't mean to like just start into the podcast.
No, I know. It's okay.
This is like the Holy Spirit moving. I feel like. So maybe we just say a prayer.
Okay.
And Heavenly Father, we ask that you bless our conversation today. Bless all of our listeners and our friends, all the parishioners of St. John Vianney Parish here in Goodyear, Arizona, best parish in the Diocese of Phoenix, and that's the best diocese in the world. We're just happy and blessed to be here and glorify you, adore you, reflect on your word, who is Jesus. We ask that you enlighten our hearts and guide our minds, keep us safe all through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Father, Son, Holy Spirit.
Eternal drama of our salvation playing out from the beginning of creation.
Our faith itself is inherently dramatic.
Dramatic.
So dramatic.
And yet this is how our God loves.
He loves. He wanted.
Welcome back, guys, to Dramatic Catholics.
Yeah, we hit the ground running.
Yeah. Straight into it. We're here for business, guys.
So yeah, you'd asked about a rundown for the big panel. It was actually, I thought, a pretty cool experience. Of
it
course,
was cool.
That was my perspective.
Yeah,
I don't
it was
know
pretty cool.
About the
it was interesting.
Attendees, okay.
I never thought I would have seen that in my life.
So it was a Jewish rabbi.
Yeah.
It was a Muslim imam. That's mm-hmm. their faith leader.
Imam.
And it was a Lutheran minister,
mm-hmm.
Pastor Pam. And me, a Catholic priest.
It
and
sounded
so,
like the beginning of a joke.
Right? Everybody says that. But we were at the Temple Beth Shalom in beautiful
Sun City.
Sun City.
Yeah, I never been out there.
No?
No.
Yeah, it's kind of far from here.
But it was cool to go. It was a little intense in the beginning. So when we came in, there was like security in the parking lot. And we weren't allowed to bring anything in.
Our purse.
Our purses or anything.
We were ready and there the guy... really respectful. He was just like, hey, ladies, no bags inside. So if you want to, we have
a
bag.
Do you think you look like a terrorist?
Me?
Esmeralda.
She looked like she would fight somebody, but no.
I do.
She'd throw down for Jesus.
I do.
Yeah.
I would.
Well, and the Cardinals.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
I don't know, Father.
Ooh.
It's kind of embarrassing.
Just going to give up for them? You're going to give up on them just because they had a terrible season?
Not just one.
Four.
It's been multiple. Yeah. I'm just at that point where I'm like, you know, like, I try fighting for y'all, but y'all just still, like, can't push through. Kyler Murray, okay, sorry, we're getting off sidetrack, but he posted.
Preach it. I mean,
he posted on his story 2025 Super Bowl, and the post was like, who's next? And he was like, 2025 is our year.
Was he wearing a sports bra?
No.
Oh, no.
I mean,
I saw that.
This
was his Instagram.
Trainer?
His trainer.
Know.
It was his Instagram story. And I wanted to, obviously, he's not going to see my message. But in my head, I was like, be so for real.
Did you really? You commented? You commented?
Esmizzle?
No, I didn't comment. I just thought about it. And I was like, be so for real. You know we're not going to the Super Bowl next year.
Yikes.
Okay, not with that attitude. We're not.
Well, not with our players. Not with our coach.
And our coach. Well,
yeah.
Coach Gannon, it was his first year.
We lost some really good players this year.
We did.
It's okay. Anyways. But no, the security was...
I also would not fight for the Cardinals because we follow the Prince of Peace. Jesus taught us to return a...
Amen.
Blessing mm-hmm. for a curse. And anyways, I'll tell you, I didn't know this until I went ahead of time to this panel discussion. So we had an opportunity, the rabbi, the Lutheran pastor, the imam, and me, the priest, we had a chance to talk for a little bit and pray together before everything started. And,
oh, interesting.
You know, we were sharing about how these things have gone in the past, and they said, you know, there was another one somewhere else in the valley, I think over in the East Valley, where after the October 6th attack in Israel, everything has been kind of tense, even here in Phoenix. And they said there was an actual, like, incident of violence at a panel where, you know, particularly the Jewish and the Muslim folks were really, there's just a lot of emotion and fear. Yeah. And yeah, it led to a pretty scary situation. And they wanted to make sure that didn't happen in this case. And I'll
tell you,
from
good.
Listening to, you know, the rabbi and the imam before, you know, like, everybody gets along. We all pray for peace. And I think the security was probably unnecessary, but also it was good to have. Yeah. Yeah. Made everybody feel safer.
You never know.
Yeah, you don't ever know. Especially with, like, a heated topic like that. Yeah. I mean,
we didn't feel any type of way. Mm-mm. Like, for us, it was like, that makes sense. Yeah. You know, because you never know people's true intentions, unfortunately. But in a place where you're like, oh, it's a temple, we could be safe. But, like, things go down all the time.
Yeah.
That's true.
So
did they have you, like, meet them before? Like, had you just met them that day?
Yes.
Or you had,
you never met them?
No.
Like, another day?
That's interesting.
So they did not think I was funny.
No,
they kept looking at me. I was cracking jokes beforehand.
Yeah,
like I do.
Funny. Yeah.
And they're like, okay,
you brought some life in there.
And I wanted to be like, well, this is,
I
don't know how I
did
it.
Was very serious.
It was very serious, but you really brought, like, life,
the light heart
to
it.
Like, yeah.
Well, that's okay. Yeah. Thank you for saying so.
Yeah, you definitely did. And I think it was cool that you had people that were, because there were so many older people there, because it's Sun City. But you had a lot of, like, young, like, your crowd of people that came.
Our crowd.
Yeah. Was younger, which is really cool.
It was cool.
Mm-hmm. We're like, that say something.
It does. It just shows, like, our, like, how, like alive our faith is. Like,
well, I really appreciate you two coming up. And there were a number of our young adults and some young families that came up. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I mean, we had not really advertised it, but we had put some posters around campus here at SJV to let people know this is going to be going on. And I really, particularly talking to Rabbi Kaplan, their chief rabbi, I thought this would be really cool to have at our church. And he expressed openness to doing that. So
that would be really cool.
Things coming down the road.
That would.
Probably around May.
That's what
we're going to do.
Saying.
Okay.
Yeah, because, I mean, not so that we're not, because I was talking to one of the ladies there, I forgot what she was, like, religion, but I was just, she asked me why I'd come, and I was just telling her, like, I just don't want to be closed-minded to, like, everything else around me, like, not be in my own bubble, not because I'm looking to convert, like, I'm very confident in my faith, and, like, as a Catholic, like, I'm, you know, I know what I'm.
You're not going anywhere.
Yeah.
You're not going
you
anywhere.
Have the truth.
Yeah.
But it's just so, like, we're not in our own bubbles, you know? So when these things do come, you can have a discussion.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like a heated discussion.
No,
you don't want to argue, but
like,
understand, like, where the person's coming from. At the end of the day, I feel like we're all streaming for the same thing, like, striving for the same thing, but everyone has their own way of going about it.
Yeah.
But we know it's what's truth.
The fullness of truth. That's what really got me, because it was when you, each of you were answering a question, there was like a hint of truth in like what they were saying, like, depending on what they're talking about.
Well, Jesus said, and of course here at Dramatic Catholics, the number one Catholic podcast in the West Valley, we always go back to what Jesus said, what he did.
Yeah.
And he said he did not come to abolish the law or change anything of the prophecies of Israel. He in fact came to fulfill it. And so he who said, I am the way and the truth and the life, no one gets to the Father, which is God.
Yeah.
And no one gets to heaven except through him. Now, we don't know how that works. You know, one of the questions is about salvation. And, you know, we can take a swing at that one here in a few minutes.
Yeah.
But, you know, the question is, do you need to believe in Jesus to go to heaven? And I really just can't believe that it would be necessary to register to parish and become a card-carrying member of the Roman Catholic Church in order to get to heaven. That said, because there's just so many people around the world that haven't been exposed to the truth of Catholicism, the truth of Jesus even, and, you know, through no fault of their own, and the church has said that through the baptism of desire, the natural law, living with goodness and truth and beauty and love in your heart, Yet Jesus says, and we do, we take that very seriously, you don't get to heaven except through him. Mm-hmm. And so how that works, I don't know.
Yeah.
I will know, we will all know when we get to heaven, but for right now, you know, I think, as you just said, we Catholics take our faith very seriously. We want to know more and more about it. We also want to preach it well and with love and joy to everyone else, but respecting if they say no,
yeah.
because we know that some of the great saints didn't come to Christ until way later in their life. And there's certainly really good people out there who have died without knowing Christ. And so, yeah, how it works, I don't know, but we had a lot of fun, I thought. I just thought maybe some of the other questions, if we want to take some swings at them today here on Dramatic Catholics.
We should.
Can I be like completely honest, like sharing completely how we felt?
Yeah.
Yeah. What do you?
Because I had some thoughts.
Share them. What did you just say about Kyler? Like, you be real.
Yeah.
I was
like, be for real.
Be for real.
charitably. Yes. But I just had some genuine questions, or just a question specifically to the Lutheran pastor Pam, because everything she was saying was like, it's giving Catholicism.
Mm-hmm.
The only difference is you're a woman pastor with a collar. But it was just the answers you were giving and the answers she was giving, they were very similar.
Yeah.
And I was a little conflicted, not going to lie. I think that was the only part that I was a little like close-minded in.
What was your biggest, I guess, conflict, or what were you feeling that way about?
I don't know. It's because how she mentioned seminary and like how she felt God was calling her to this.
Mm-hmm.
And in my house, like, so sisterhood, you know, like from what
the ministry.
Know. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I was still chewing on that, like even after we left, because I'm just like, you're like almost there, but you're not there yet.
That is a really good question.
Delilah knows my whole
thing. Yeah, I do. And when I heard that too, I just thought of, you know, I had a misconception going in of women who I see who like are wearing collars and things just because me and Esme are women working in the church, and I've never felt the need to like, I need to be a priest like in order to feel like I'm a part of the church. Like I know I have a role as a lay person and that it's meaningful and that priests and lay people are needed for each other. So seeing her like up there with like in clerics was uncomfortable at first. Cause it's like, I'm just like, what wasn't enough? That's kind of what was in my head. Like, what wasn't enough?
Yeah, it made me feel uncomfortable too.
But when she was talking, I kind of understood where she was coming from, because you kind of see where this break happened, the split, obviously, between like where like Protestantism comes from is like we were all, you know, like one church at one point.
Catholic
and undivided. But seeing that, I'm like, okay, part of it is like, I can't say like was completely like her fault. Like, how far down the line do you go? Does that make sense? Like,
yeah, I mean, like I certainly think she has good intentions.
Yeah, that she has good intentions. True, and that idea was presented to her when she was talking about like her, I guess she worked in a bishop's office or something like that. Not like a Catholic bishop's office, obviously, but some like that, that idea was presented to her and was encouraged. She didn't, I had assumed she just woke up one day and was like, I want to be like a priest. I want to do this because I'm a woman and I'm trying to, you know, fight against the patriarchy or something like that. Like, that's what I thought. I had that idea in my head. But when she was talking about how someone brought it to her attention, was like, hey, you should go to seminary, and planted that idea in her head, I had a different outlook on that. Like, that's all she knows. Like, who knows if she knows other than that?
Sure.
And so... Yeah, we can share those things charitably. Like, when we can we obviously have that disagreement.
We could invite Pastor onto the show.
Yeah.
Well, so I think that's a really, really important observation. And thanks for your willingness to share that with our listeners. And you may have had the same thought out there, worthy listeners. because we do in the Catholic Church believe that Jesus entrusted the apostolic tradition to 12 men. And John Paul II, our great saint And I think a doctor of the church, I'd love to call
should
him
be
John Paul the Great. We should do that. From now on, only John Paul the Great. In, I think it was 1994, he wrote a document called Ordinalis Sacerdotalis. And it had to do with the idea of the order of priesthood. Because how many orders are there? There's three, right? Deacons, priests, and bishops. And every priest is also always a deacon. And every bishop is always a deacon and a priest. So they build on each other, these orders.
Yeah.
And they come from the very beginning of the church. Of course, there's evidence of diakonos, presbyteroi, and episkopoi. And I'm not impressing you with my Greek. It comes from the earliest church. It was the idea of the deacon as the one who helped feed the poor and the widows and the orphans, care for them, to enable the priests and the bishops to preach the word of God. And the bishops were there to govern, so to speak, but always, obviously, with great charity and humility and wisdom. Anybody who's looking for a little understanding of what the bishops of the church are supposed to do and what they're called to be like, read 1 Timothy. You know, St. Paul was really clear about the bishops. One of those orders, though, of the three is priesthood. And I think in order to understand Pastor Pam and so many of the Protestant ministers, as well as, you know, I would say elders, maybe of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, the Mormons, or the Jehovah Witnesses. Probably you can make an analogous to rabbis and imams in the Jewish and Islamic faiths. You know, all of those are ministries. They're ministers. They believe that they are sort of professional, godly people who have many of the same functions as a priest, but we believe that you're actually reconfigured into an order when you become a priest. So whether I actually do priest stuff and wear my collar, in my soul, I have been made into a priest of Jesus Christ, who is the only high priest. So this is a lot of theology we're throwing at you here.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you, that's really, really important because it goes back to the beginning of the church. And John Paul II said, we don't understand why Jesus picked only men, but he did. And we don't have the authority as the church to undo what Jesus established. And taken across, you know, 2,000 years of sacred tradition, you know, there are certain things that we just don't have. We can't tomorrow decide there's actually four members of the Holy Trinity.
Yeah.
There's the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, and, you know, Gaia or Earth or something. We can't do that because Jesus says there's the Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. We can't say that the body and blood of Christ are in fact only symbols because Jesus says, this is my body.
Yes.
That goes back to him. And so John Paul II was clear. It's sort of a closed case about women priests, not because women aren't as good as men, not because we don't want it, not because they shouldn't have power. John Paul II just, and he wrote so much beautiful theology about men and women.
He wrote one to just women.
Yeah.
Yes, too.
Molière, and also Jesus was like, Jesus was with women, like Mary, absolutely, the Marys, you know?
Yeah.
Mary Magdalene, like
Martha.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Miriam, like all the people.
Mm-hmm. The woman caught in adultery.
Yeah.
He woman at the well. The woman with the hemorrhage.
Yeah.
The widow of Nain. Peter's mother-in-law, the suegra.
Yeah. Yeah.
You. Yeah.
And he told his disciples.
And she's like, hold on. I make you pozole.
I know. Yes.
You know, yes. So it's not like he's
anti-woman.
Yeah, no, anti-woman. Yeah.
And that was such an important thing for John Paul II. That
he even told his disciples, like, this is not your mother, you know?
That's right. And so the ministry is so important, and yet that is not the defining characteristic of a priest.
Yeah.
Jesus established the orders, and he gave it to men. We can ask Jesus that when we get to heaven, and I think it'll be a pretty you know, interesting answer. But John Paul the Great's point was, we don't have the authority to change it, so we're not going to.
Right.
Yeah.
But I think what's really, really wise about what he did about Benedict XVI and now Pope Francis is thinking through what in the church really needs to be done by men, or I should say by priests. Because if it has to be done by a priest, mass, confession, the anointing of the sick, then it's going to be only men.
Mm-hmm.
But things like being the director of religious education, does that need to be a priest?
No, it does not. I'm sure you wouldn't. Yeah.
I wouldn't do as good a job. Honestly, Delilah has been called by God in your baptism for sure.
Yeah.
But specifically within your baptismal call, he has given you amazing gifts naturally and through education. He's given you this time in our parish to do this ministry, and you're doing amazing.
Thank you.
You know, everybody who's out there, check us out, and you're going to be blown away by the work that Delilah's doing in the DRE office. My thought with Pastor Pam is she probably has been called at some level to do important work in ministry, but we wouldn't say that she's been called to the order of priesthood, because that's just not the way things have ever been in the church. And you're right, the Protestant religions groups over the years have evolved a lot. And her answers about the Lutheran faith, I thought were interesting, because it's just very different from what their founder, Martin Luther, established for the Lutheran Church. The Anglican Church was founded by King Henry VIII, and doctrinally they're pretty similar to the Catholic Church, but there's some things that are really big and different. But now there's so many changes that they've made that Henry VIII wouldn't recognize it. I don't know that Martin Luther would have recognized many of her answers.
Mm-hmm.
Now, here's a really important reminder, because I know our listeners already know this, but a reminder, who is a founder of the Catholic Church?
Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Even you can Google it, guys.
And Google
who even knows.
Yes, Google.
Fact.
Right?
Like, isn't that crazy?
So, Jesus founded our church, and we rejoice in that. And we don't belittle or judge anybody who doesn't recognize the Catholic Church as the true church, but we do really clearly proclaim that we are fulfilling the mission that Jesus gave us. In Matthew 28, when he said, go out to all the world, teach them what I've taught you, heal and baptize and love and do all these godly things. And so, Pastor Pam, we'd love to have you on the show. And for all the Lutherans or non-Catholics who are listening, you know, check us out for more information. We're happy to share it with you. We're not going to beat you over the head.
Definitely not.
We're also not going to water down what we believe is the truth. Mm-hmm. Because it was Jesus himself who gave it to us.
Oof, good.
Well, thanks for that perspective. Because I was really struggling with that when I was hearing her. I was just...
Well, if you wear a collar, if you wear a clerical shirt to work sometime, Esmeralda, I'm just going to be curious. I'm going to ask you why.
Why? No. There.
Yeah, it was interesting because one of the questions was, what's your favorite theologian?
Ooh, yeah.
And that was like...
Do you remember who I said?
Yeah, I do. Because, just what you had said, because Pastor Pam did answer. She said, I have to say Martin Luther. And I was like, oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
But then you followed up and you said Jesus. And she was like, oh,
like maybe I should have said that. I know you didn't mean it, but it was funny how it lined up,
because she went first
and then you went.
Yeah, it was pretty smooth. Yeah, I respected it.
Thank you.
Yeah, I looked at Esme. I was like, yeah. Put my fist up in there. I was like, yes, Father.
It was awesome.
Yeah, that was good.
So the question was, who is your favorite theologian or philosopher? Think the first one was Jewish, the Rabbi Kaplan. So the Jewish philosopher Maimonides, Moses Maimonides is an amazing philosopher.
Okay.
Typically you study that in ancient medieval philosophy classes. And Rabbi Kaplan also said that Moses, the prophet or the lawgiver, the one who received the law from God, he was really important. The Muslim philosopher, I don't remember his name, but
remember either.
He named a few that I thought, okay, we should probably check them out. Of course, Avicenna was a famous Al-Ghazali, our famous medieval Muslim philosophers. And then I didn't recognize the names that Pastor Pam gave other than Martin Luther.
It was, well, yeah, that's right, there was a woman.
Women theologian. To your point, I finished the round by saying that my favorite theologian and philosopher is Jesus.
Yeah.
And not to be funny or not to be, you know, no, kind of sticking at anybody.
It was legit. It was rooted in truth.
It's true. Yeah. You know, everybody who's listening knows already, theology is the study of God.
Mm-hmm.
Who is my favorite studier of God? Well, it happens to be God's Son, the Word of God, mm-hmm. and the Savior, who has brought me to God. And so I love to know God more by knowing Jesus better. And I also would add, I don't know if I mentioned it that day, but some of my other favorite theologians and philosophers would certainly be John Paul the Great, mm-hmm. Benedict the 16th, who wrote a lot under his name, Joseph Ratzinger. Dorothy Day is an amazing, I would call her more of a disciple and activist, but in her writings, I understand God better. So I would certainly consider her a theologian for me. Gustavo Gutierrez, Padre Gutierrez, is a theologian. Who are some of yours, Delilah? Who do you like to read?
You know, I will say I've been in school for a while now, and I haven't gotten to read things that I would say that strike the heart. I've read a lot of Ratzinger and
yeah,
Benedict,
so good, 16, so good.
But I don't get to read too much, like, other than what is provided for me. But in those times where I have been able to read, I wouldn't say that they're theologians, but it's always been like St. John of the Cross or Teresa of Avila.
Yes.
So it's more like poetic than, okay. than yes. it is.
But you know God better by reading those and reflecting.
Yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm. So not like, I would say like theologians, like, I mean, beautiful language they use, but it's different. It's more of like intimate, romantic, I would say, reading them.
I was just going to say that.
Yeah.
I would love to read more theologians, like, in our faith. St. Teresa of Lisieux, St. Teresa of Avila, you know.
Yeah, it'd be the Carmelites.
Yeah, the Carmelites.
That's what I would say.
But I am interested. So if
but
you
Jesus,
know...
But Jesus, obviously. Yeah, number one.
That went without saying.
Duh, the Bible.
Duh. We need to say it.
If you know anybody, you recommend...
We're all on the same page around this table.
If you recommend anything to read, leave it down below in our suggestions so we can take a look.
That's a really good idea.
I'd be interested. Like, I want to expand my knowledge because I don't know everything. Mm-hmm. But also, like, to chew. I wanted something to chew on.
Ooh.
It's been a... Yeah.
Spend a minute.
Trying to find these questions, but you know, another one that I thought was really interesting is what's your personal relationship like with God?
Oh, yeah.
Because that is
one.
A different thing for Jewish believers. And we're not going to, you know, go down what they said.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I'd love to hear how you would answer that.
Yeah, that was
on a panel. Personal relationship as a believer in your religion with God?
That question's been coming up a lot in my personal life. Like, who is Jesus to you?
Mm-hmm.
Like, who is God? Like, how, if you had to give him a label, like a title, not a label, but a title, what would you put him under as?
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, ooh. Because he can be all things. Of course, he's my savior. Of course, he's my father. Mm-hmm. But is he a teacher? Is he a friend? Is he a brother? Is he a, like, you know?
Yeah.
Is he still with you or is he gone away to come back?
In that panel, I think it would have been, well, you did make it known, but for myself, that part personal, I think is the key word because compared to the other people who were speaking, it was like God was kind of like made you and kind of just stepped aside and like, hopefully you'll be a good person, all those things versus like when you were speaking, Father, like it was intimate. Mm-hmm. It was like, it was a relationship. It was personal. Like he didn't just like create us and like, you know, peace out. Like you're good. Hope you like make it back to me someday. But like, that's something I would include. Like he did not like yes, we have free will, but he wants to be involved. Like he's walking with you. Like he wants you to seek him and vice versa. Like he's pursuing you. Like it's a relationship. That was like the biggest thing. I didn't notice or I didn't understand that like other people viewed God so not personally.
Just like God.
Like you're just like, I believe in you. Like I'll be, but like, I get why what be you're faithful saying. Yeah. to like a God
like
that
God just
doesn't
being
love
God.
You. Yeah.
But there is like, it's like a sense like I can't have a relationship with God because he's God. And then, and maybe it is like they don't know they can have a personal relationship with God. Mm-hmm. Like he desires like he that
wants,
with, yeah.
He wants to love you. He wants to like pursue you.
So that's like my personal relationship with God. Like I know I'm getting pursued.
Yeah.
Like I know I'm wanted mm-hmm. by the beloved Father. Like he's constantly searching for me. And when I do stray away sometimes and like even like the midst of my days when I don't include him in my day or I just, you know, it's busy and he like sends little things to remind me like, hey, like.
And it changes your outlook on sin too. I don't know if they talked about sin in one of the questions.
I did.
You did.
At the very end.
The question was, what was misinterpreted in
misunderstood.
Your misunderstood in your faith?
Yeah, and you did talk about sin. And I think that's a big one. Because I think if you look at God as someone like who just wants to punish you, like, yeah, I shouldn't sin because I don't want to displease him versus, yeah, like when we sin, like we don't want to displease him, but it's more because of I love him versus like anything else.
That's right. Well, I mean, so real quick before we leave this idea of the personal God, I think it's, it's so hard for us to even contemplate God as the Father, the eternal, the omnipotent, the maker of the universe. And yet that is who God is, right? God is, I mean, I think it was, they're going to make a lot of fun of me on my friends who studied in theology classes with me, but it's the Proslogion by Saint.
The
Proslogion. Was that Saint Albert?
That one I do not know.
Albertus Magnus.
You lost me.
Anyways, the idea was there's nothing greater that you can imagine. Because if there's anything greater than God that you can imagine, well, that would be God. And sort of like, who started everything? Well, the first mover, the unmoved mover. And if you say, well, that person was moved by so-and-so, that must be God. So God is just, it's never going to be possible for the human mind to understand God. We can. So I love that the fathers and mothers of the church taught that God in his mercy and love knew that. And so he sent us Jesus. Mm-hmm. Because you can contemplate Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
He is full God. So he has all those same attributes that God we just talked about, you know, the eternal word, Jesus, who is omnipotent and omniscient and from all time and will be for all time and he'll come and judge and all those amazing godly divine things. He was also the master who fell asleep in the back of the boat. He was the one who cried when his friend Lazarus died.
Mm-hmm.
He got hungry and needed fish for breakfast, which is strange, but it's what the Savior wanted.
He was human.
So, you know, we can understand God in a really personal, beautiful way through Jesus. And, you know, for anybody who doesn't believe in Jesus and yet tries to have a relationship with God, like our Muslim brothers and sisters, our Jewish brothers and sisters, I mean, obviously, I believe that they also are searching and loving God, but it's really hard to have a personal relationship with that omnipotent eternal being.
Yeah.
Whereas we can have that personal relationship with Jesus.
Exactly.
And St. Paul said he's the visible face he's the visible of the invisible God. Jesus is the one that we can see because we can't see God the Father.
Yeah.
I think it's pretty beautiful. So the question that you referenced just a second ago was, what is the most misunderstood aspect of your faith from your perspective? And so, spoiler alert, I said, as they've just said,
sin.
Because I think people who are not Catholic look at us and say, you guys are like the most obsessed, like guilt-ridden, judgy people ever. Like everything for you Catholics is a sin. Mm-hmm. Like you just always are talking about like how bad you are and how
that
Catholic guilt. I still think it's funny. Like there's nobody who says I have Presbyterian guilt. I don't want to judge the Presbyterians, but we are not in fact obsessed with sin. And that was my point is if everybody out there thinks that us Catholics are judgy and we're just like always thinking about how bad we are and how sinful we are and how everything out there is a sin. If it feels nice, you know, don't do it because God's watching and he's going to judge you. We just don't do that.
Yeah.
And so to try to clarify for all the attendees, what it is that we actually do believe about sin, that God gives us rules because he loves us. He wants us to stay healthy and happy and holy. And when we leave those bounds, we put ourselves at danger, and that we call a sin. We have ways to be reconciled to God, but ultimately we could not overcome our own sin. And so Jesus came from the Father to save us from our sin. And every time we're at Mass and, you know, the priest, he says the words of Jesus, "Take this, all of you, and drink from it. For this is the chalice of my blood, the blood of the new and eternal covenant, which will be shed, which will be poured out for you and for many for the
forgiveness of sins."
Amen. And so we have a better sense that, yes, we do make mistakes because we're kind of little kids in the eyes of God. We make mistakes. Sometimes we can fix them, you know, being reconciled to our brothers and sisters, admitting our faults, etc. But ultimately, it's God who has to save us, and he has through Jesus. And I think, you know, in the end, people have shared with me afterwards some of the other things that they consider to be misunderstood about the Catholic Church, and those are all right. Mm-hmm. But I still stand by sin being the thing that is most misunderstood, that people get most wrong about our religion.
Yeah, that makes sense. Because I even like when I heard that question, I thought you were going to talk about confession. But I mean, that does have to do with sin. So, but
it does.
I think that's a big one too. Like the misconception of like, why do you need to go to confession when I can just like confess my sins to God? And it's like,
how would you answer that?
I would say, I don't know the exact scripture, but it was one of the daily readings a couple days ago. It was for the feast of the chair of St. Peter. And he gave Peter the authority. He said, upon this rock, I'm going to build my church. And he, at the end of the verse, he says, whatever you bound on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. And that right there is what we would say would be the precedent for giving him the authority to do so. And even in like talking about tradition, when you were saying Matthew 28, he said, teach what I taught you, basically. Mm-hmm. And not everything in scripture, we can see what Jesus taught. We weren't there the whole time that the disciples were with Jesus. So everything that they did, they didn't like go rogue or anything. Like, they're doing what they were taught.
Yeah.
So obviously like Jesus was the model for confession. They watched him forgive sins, and he gave the disciples that authority. So that would be my answer.
That is a really good answer.
Thank you. Yeah.
That's exactly right. Esmeralda, what do you think?
I'm not going to say basic, but it's just, you know, something that is talked about. Like the first thing that can come for you is like, well, you guys worship like statues and imagery, and you guys idolize other things other than God.
Which would also fall under the category of sin, I would say, because they would say we're being sinful in that way.
It's like, and no, who put it in this example that was like, that's perfect? Because we don't worship like our saints. Like we don't worship Mary. We ask for their prayers, their intercession of prayer, like you would to a friend.
Amen.
You know, like the way I would go to Delilah or Father David, like, can you guys pray for me? That's what our saints were here on earth, and they lived the life, and they're in heaven. We know they're in heaven because of miracles that were performed by them, shown here on earth. But someone, I don't know who said it, but it was put in the example of like, when someone passes away in your family, you put a picture up of them so you can remember who they are, you know, so you don't forget them.
Yeah.
The same way, like we have St. John Vianney's statue, like in our church. It's not so we kneel, there's a kneeler in front of him, but we're not praying to him or asking for his intercession of prayers. And we have a visual of who we're looking at. Like St. John Vianney was a person who heard so many confessions, like upon 18 hours every day.
That may be me tomorrow, by the way.
No.
It's just me.
Pray for Father
it's just
David.
Me.
Pray for Father David.
Yeah, this is your big chance because everybody's going to get about 15 seconds before I absolve. Aww. No, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to take all the time you need.
He's going to be for 5 hours.
Wow. St. John Vianney, pray for him.
Amen.
He's looking down at you like rookie.
Yeah, I was going to say, jeez.
He's like, come on. He's like, you can do
Put
it. You're
me a coach, I'm ready.
That's crazy.
But like, even
that was good.
But like in our chapel, we have Saint Jude and we have Mary. You know, like they're reminders to us that it is possible. Like obviously, Mary, the purest of all of us. You know, she's perfect, and we look at them like to remember, Like, yeah, this is possible. And we're not idolizing them. We're not worshiping them. They are just there, like, for us to, as a reminder of what our goal is, mm-hmm, is sainthood. You know, it's not like, I was asking for a friend, too. Like, you know, like,
well, you have pictures of your family members after they pass. And
you, mm-hmm, look at them, you're just like, hey, like, I'm praying for you. That's also like,
and you might put a candle in front of it. That's, yeah, not worshiping the person through the picture. Exactly. That's helping you sort of psychologically remember them and honor them in your heart, as, mm-hmm, we do with the saints. Mm-hmm. And I think you're exactly right. That's very misunderstood. The idea of Mary being somehow equal to Jesus. We don't believe that, guys. We love Mary. She's Jesus's mom.
Yeah.
So why would we not love her? I mean, and she loves us.
We have a mom role model too. You know?
And then the Eucharist, I think, is one that's misunderstood.
Yes.
I think people think cannibalism, we follow the Pope, like, without thinking, mm-hmm, you know, kind of blind obedience. So yeah, I mean, I think there's a lot of things that we'd say are misunderstood about the faith. What were some of the questions that you left with? You said you had wanted, yeah, to ask, but we sort of ran out of time that day.
Oh.
Yeah. Because you guys were talking about how their religion looks on heaven and hell. I think that was one of the questions. Because it's reminding me because of my question that I had, mm-hmm, in our demonology episode, if you haven't listened to it, it was in October, somewhere around there. But it made me think, like, well, I forgot their responses, but it was more of like, well, yeah, like, evil exists. But in my head, I was like, all right, so if someone was possessed, right? Because oppression is a thing. Like, demons are around, you know, like, evil spirits do roam around. If someone's
most of them live in the Dallas Cowboys and the Las Vegas Raiders.
Dang.
The University of Michigan football team.
Dang.
Shots fired.
No, I'm joking. They're not demons. They're not that good.
They're not that good. They're, no.
Wow. Am I going to get in trouble?
Nah, we'll see. Okay. We'll see. But oppression is a thing. You know, like, if good exists, so does evil. Like, you can't say evil doesn't exist because we have the devil. So in my thought process, I was like, all right, so if someone's getting, like, oppressed by a demon and you're Jewish or any religion and you get possessed, like, how in your religion are you gonna get, like, out of that possession? Like, because who do you call when you get possessed?
Mm-hmm.
Ghostbusters.
Like a Catholic priest, you know, because by the name of Jesus I rebuke you, you know, like, so what do they say, you know? Like,
that's a really good question.
It's a random, mm-hmm, you know, probably doesn't, it's not relevant, but
oh, I'd say it is.
But it's like, when it comes to evil, how do you guys deal with, like, do you just ignore evil, like, it doesn't exist, or, like, because it is something that's people go through.
So have you, I know we've talked about it before, but have you seen The Chosen?
Yes.
No. Yes.
Okay.
Sorry,
so that's one,
no.
Yes, one no. Well, I asked because at the very, very beginning, the very first one, they bring in some of these elders of the law,
mm-hmm,
and I think it's about Mary Magdalene. She has these seven demons, mm-hmm, kind of famously. And in The Chosen, they show that these rabbis or these elders, these scribes, Pharisees, I don't remember, but they're leaders of the Jewish kind of authority in that town. And they come in and they really desire to heal her.
Mm-hmm.
And at, you know, they're, one level, they're being kind of pushed into this by Rome and by the people. But at another, they recognize that they're the leaders of their faith community, and so they better be able to do this. And so they bring in incense, they say prayers, they by the authority of God as they understand him, they tell the demon to be gone.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't work. Jesus alone is able in the scriptures to cast out the demons. And so it would stand to reason that we who are followers of Jesus, and he did assure us that we would have the power to go and cast out demons.
Mm-hmm.
It would stand to reason that we can. And I do many blessings, and I pray in houses where there's a report of evil. And all joking aside, that is serious stuff, guys.
Mm-hmm.
Do not mess around with tarot cards. Do not mess around with Ouija. Do not mess around with, you know, witchcraft and Wicca,
yeah,
and all that, like, the new agey stuff.
Yeah.
Just don't. Like, crystals.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, that's a whole nother show. But
yeah,
I think we talked
back
about
in
it
October,
spooky.
Our spooky
check it out.
Season.
Spooky season. For the other religions, is clearly evil. And you know, just in that example, in Jesus' time, they were all Jewish, and the evil one had possessed people, and their religion tried and couldn't. Islam, I believe they call them jinns, like genies. Mm-hmm. Jinns are evil spirits. And I don't know if they possess in the same way that Beelzebub can possess us, but certainly they believe in evil spirits. And we just know that that's out there. What they do, if they have a ritual even, I don't know. That would be a good question.
Yeah, that would be a good question.
That's what I wanted to ask one of the rabbi. Because it's, do you go out there and, you know, like, do something? Like,
or do you hit up your fellow priest friend?
Yeah, like, what do you do as, like, the leader of your, like, their people? Just
call
a question.
Me maybe.
Call me.
Delilah, did you have any questions?
I didn't have, like, a question. I was just really, like, taking it all in. Like, it was an interesting thing to get to, like, witness. Like,
yeah, for sure.
Even, like, how you answered the questions compared to the out. Oh, yeah, I was just more of just, like, analyzing the whole thing, because it was a beautiful thing to see people not get so, to be able to have, like, a calm conversation about it. I thought about in high school, I had a lot of different friends. Like, not as much now do I get to have those kind of conversations with people, because, like, I only hang out with, like, the people here. Like, I don't have friends that are outside of my faith. Same. And that's not, like, on purpose or anything. It's sure. Just that's who I surround myself with. Mm-hmm. But in high school, I had a lot of those kinds of conversations. I don't know if I told you before, but my one of my, like, first boyfriends, he was Protestant, and he and that's actually why we broke up, was because he wanted me to go to his church and do all these things. And I had told him, like, no. But I still didn't know a lot about my faith. I was just like, I'm not going to convert for you. Yeah. I just felt confident. Like, I didn't need to do that. I didn't need to look elsewhere. I felt like, you know, the Catholic Church was, like, the true church, you know? And it wasn't until we broke up, whatever. And it was a whole thing, like, having those conversations. He didn't say it to me, but he said, I didn't have a personal relationship with God. And people were telling me that he said that. And I was like, that's not true, though. And he was saying that Catholics aren't Christian. I was like, yeah, we are.
Oh,
so, like,
man.
All the classics, you know? And so, like, that kind of conversation led me to my faith, though. Because my mom had ended up saying, like, why don't you go to youth group?
Is that right? That's awesome.
And then I never left. So, I mean, I was thinking of all those things. Because
now you're the DRE.
Now I'm the DRE. Yeah.
That is amazing. That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's
take God's that calling. Boyfriend.
That's God's calling, right there.
Take that ex-boyfriend.
Now, respectfully, he was a good man. He was He was a good dude, but
he's a dang deal breaker.
But it was a big deal breaker.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Well, I don't know. Guys, if you're not Catholic and you're trying to impress a Catholic girlfriend, don't call her a non-Christian.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
don't say that.
That really
kinda,
didn't. That was a low blow.
Kind of
on Facebook, bro.
Oh,
he said that on Facebook.
That's
like,
your face?
I don't even have a Facebook. So my friend who had a Facebook
that's
had to
crazy.
Tell me.
Anyway. Yeah, that's a low blow.
It was a low blow.
We're Catholic Christians. What you mean?
But these conversations are important for that reason.
We should, you know, it makes me think. I was hopeful that we'd get the rabbi here sometime in May to kind of have just a night where we can talk, he and I, with the parishioners and, of course, any of the members of his faith if they want to come. But it makes me think that we should probably also have another night where we just get, like, CCV and maybe some of the Pentecostal or non-Catholics who are believers in Jesus and get everybody together and just, like, share some of these things and clarify.
And there's a way to do it. Yeah, it's really just a lot of it comes from clarifying. Like, even after that, a lot of my friends were Protestant and had, like, questions and all these things. And it was never, like, a disagreement or an argument. Like, they were just really curious about, like, why I believed what I believed. And, yeah. And then I went to Grand Canyon, too. So I had... I had a lot of those encounters in my classes. So
you're just surrounded by
that. I was around it a lot growing up. So it really is just talking about it versus, like, yelling and clarifying, you know?
Because that was kind of my approach. You know, like, I have this whole thing because I was never surrounded by Protestants. Like, I just grew up very, again, like, in my own circle of Catholics. So I would go to Delilah and be like, I don't know, like, more of the aggressive. I'll be honest. I was more of the aggressive approacher. Was wanting to be right.
Yeah.
But when we had that conversation with Paul and you at the...
Yeah, we went up to breakfast.
It helped a little, but I'm still like, we're not here to fight. We're here to talk.
Yeah.
Well, and that's right. again, we go back to scripture as Catholics, and there's a lot of examples of where we take the Bible literally and non-Catholics don't. And vice versa, because there are some things that we hold as tradition that they would say, no, it's literally in the, you know, the world was created in 7 days. Well,
yeah,
we don't God's teach time. That.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's in God's time. Exactly. Well, anyways, having a presumption, as Jesus reminded his disciples who said, Lord, we heard somebody else is casting out demons in your name, but they're not one of our group. Mm. What should we do?
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus asked them, like, well, if they're not against us, what's the big deal? And I find myself thinking about that at times. Like some of the preachers that I listen to, or, you know, I meet different Protestant reverends around. And if they're preaching the good news of Jesus, that's awesome. If people are coming to the Lord Jesus and they're accepting him into their heart and his offer of salvation and new life, I mean, we know that we are the fullness of truth. And that's not because we're boasting and we're better. We are Catholics and we are sinners like everybody else.
Yeah.
But we're also saved, like any disciple of Jesus. And we have the fullness with the sacraments and our traditions and, you know, the witness of the saints. It is amazing in our faith. But I think it'd actually be pretty cool to have a group discussion about that here to clarify and, you know, to hear from them too, because we want them to presume the best about us. You know, that fellow that was your ex who said you aren't really a Christian. Like, well, come on, dude. Like, don't presume that. If you ask Delilah, does she believe in Jesus Christ?
Yeah.
She does. I'll assure you, if you're still listening, she's an amazing believer in Jesus Christ.
So thank you.
Secondly, you know, we do the same thing with them. Yeah. We presume the best out of our neighbors who are Christians but not followers of the Catholic Church or members of the Catholic Church. And gosh, what would happen if we all worked together to build the kingdom of God? I think they would... One, they would probably join us. And you're always invited, guys. Everybody who's listening out there, there's no, no crazy, you know, membership fees to sign or...
Way easier than the gym.
Easier than the gym?
Easier than the gym.
Even Planet Fitness's January. So I think I might get a discount if I mention them again.
Do you really?
No, I'm joking.
I was like, that's crazy.
Okay, I gotta go. Okay. Sorry, guys. I've been talking too much this episode.
No, this was great.
But I'm really glad to be back here on Dramatic Catholics.
Yeah.
The West Valley's number one Catholic podcast.
Do you want to wrap us up in closing prayer?
I'd love to.
All right.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Heavenly Father, continue to pour out your blessings on all who are listening and joining us in this podcast. Bless the members of St. John Vianney Parish, especially any families going through a tough moment. We ask that you keep us all safe, healthy, happy, and holy. Above all, keep us close to your Son, Jesus Christ, in these weeks of Lent as we prepare for his passion, death, and resurrection. We ask all this through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.
Go in peace, everybody.
Ooh, thanks be to God.
We'll see you next time on
Dramatic Catholics.
There you go. Bye.
Bye, guys.